Father, we come into your throne room, God. We come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, the only one by whom we can come to you, your son Jesus, our mediator, our advocate. We thank you so much, God, for Jesus. And we thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit to be a witness to us that your son is who he said he is, that you are who you say you are, that when we actually put our faith in Jesus, that you confirm it all for us. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for a living hope. Thank you for a living faith. Thank you for all your precious promises, eternal life and forgiveness, your mercy, God, your power, God, healing in every single way, God. Thank you so much for all that you offer to us. But thank you most of all that our names are written in heaven and that we can be with you. We ask, God, that your will would be done this morning, that you would touch our hearts and our minds, you would speak to us clearly, that you would help us to become a little bit more like your son this morning, and that you would challenge us, God, that we wouldn't just rely on our own understanding and knowledge, but we would rely on you, God. That we would not acknowledge you in all of our ways and know that you're directing us. We love you so much. We praise your holy name, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's worship, everyone.
This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like.
Turn morning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. For there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Dancing, you give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful?
There's no other name.
Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and one of us, the lover of my soul. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name.
Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need.
Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Chains are broken when it's spoken. Every knee must bow. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Eternal King. You will reign forever. And
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oftentimes when I'm speaking to people about Jesus who might not know Jesus, I say there's only three possibilities. He's either a lunatic who thought he was like God himself, he was a liar, everything he said was completely untrue, or he is who he said he is. And we know because of the Holy Spirit, because of prophecies, because of all this scientific evidence, because of faith, that he is who he says he is. God, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was and is to come. God, help us to stand ready to live our lives in a way that honors you, that walks worthy of who you are and what you've done for us. God, oh God, God, we need a revelation. God, we need an awakening. We need a revival, God. We need your spirit to be poured out upon us so that the world may know of your saving grace, God. Please open up the windows of heaven, God, and pour your spirit out upon us, Lord. Let it rain. Let it rain, Father. Help us to live and manage our lives, God, in a way that glorifies you and you alone. Not ourselves, not our own selfish desires, not sin, but you, God, our holy, perfect, loving, wonderful God. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank him all day long. What's that saying? It's like, God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Amen. Welcome to Seaport. My name is Rolando. I'm excited for today's service. It'll be beautiful. I know the Lord's among us powerfully this morning. But I want to welcome all of you. Our regulars, our guests, welcome, welcome. But we also want to give a special welcome to our guests. So can we give them a round of applause, please? Thank you for being here this morning. It's the service is a gift to you. But we also want to get connected with all of you that are our guests, or maybe you've been coming to Seaport a couple times, you're not connected yet. One of the ways that you can get connected is by texting welcome to the number up on the screen behind me. You'll get a text back. You can follow that link and get connected. You can also get connected through different social media platforms. There's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, a bunch of stuff. And then you can also get connected through the Church Center app, which there should be a QR code on the seat back in some of the seats in front of you. You point your camera at it. A little link will pop up. You follow that, and you get connected that way. In the Church Center app, there's everything we do here at Seaport. All the opportunities and ways to get plugged in are right on there, and specific times and everything. So that's definitely a great way to get connected. But here's Pastor Brad.
Thanks, Rolando. Good morning, everyone. Are you well? It's good to see you. Yeah, hallelujah. If you're visiting with us, I can't wait to meet you. And I'll do my best to be back by the cafe. Sometimes I don't get within 2 feet of the front of this, but if I can meet you out there, I'd love to do that. Or you can try and sneak up here, whatever you'd like to do. But I'd love to meet you if you're visiting with us today. If you're here today just to support one of the folks that are being baptized, thank you for coming and supporting them. That's great. I love that. Love that. So it's great to have you here. I want to say a very special thanks. And all of you that helped yesterday at the workday, stand up, because I want to see who was here to do that. It's okay. It was, yeah, thank you for that. Woo, amen. Man, God bless you guys. Be seated. I rolled in yesterday evening and said, wow. You guys did a lot. You guys and gals did a lot of work about making this place. It was so special thanks to all of you for doing that. Took you a good part of the day, so thank you. So appreciate it. Every time when you walk out of here this morning, you see all that fresh mulch, go, thank you, Lord, for those. Amen. It's great. And so this morning, just as we get ready to receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings, and again, as you've already heard us say, if you're visiting, it's your first visit with us, there's no expectation. You can give if you want to, but there's no expectation. As Rolando said, the service is a gift to you. And it's provided to you by people who call this place home and love it and give generously. But what I want to do this morning, I've done before. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to do this. And so this passage of Scripture, you see it up there up on the screen. This is John, the beloved disciple. He writes this to his friend, and he says, I pray for good fortune in everything you do and for your health, that your everyday affairs prosper as well as your soul. Now, how many would not want that prayer made for them? And so that's how I'm going to pray for my friends. And that's how John prayed for his friend. I'm going to pray this for my friends, that you would prosper in every way. Amen? In your health, in your relationships, most importantly, in your relationship with God, you know, and all the things that life is made out of. Amen? Great. There's about five of you I'm praying for. The rest of you, you're on your own. Have fun. Just kidding. Just kidding. Come on, pray with me this morning. Okay? Pray. Remember, prosperity brings responsibility. Right? Responsibility to take all of your blessings and use them for the glory of God and the benefit of others. Right? That's why he blesses you. Lord, I pray in agreement with your word, and I agree with this prayer that John prayed, and I pray it for my friends, that they would prosper. God, that I pray that their soul, their relationship with you prospers, their understanding grows, they get a little closer to you, they exercise the spiritual gifts that you've given to them. But I also pray, God, that they would prosper in all their relationships. I pray that they would prosper, Lord, in their day-to-day activities and responsibilities. And, Lord, that you'd bring promotion to those who are ready for promotion. God, you'd bring blessings and bonuses and all the rest to those who are ready. And, God, I just pray that you would just prosper us in every way. God, those of us that maybe need a touch in our body and we need to prosper in our health, help us to prosper that way, too. But we're just trusting you that you're going to be glorified. And God, with the prosperity, God, comes responsibility. And so help us, God, just to use the blessings that you pour into our lives to advance your purposes and to help others. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, friends? Amen. and amen and amen. Let me just, I don't know, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I think it's a good idea. You know what? I think sometimes, this is an example. This isn't anything more than that. It's an example. I almost never carry cash on me, almost never. But I purpose to keep some cash in my wallet in case God needs for me to respond immediately to a need that I see that's legit. So I'm always ready to respond. Now, some of you come up here and ask me for money. We'll have to think about that a little bit. But just be prepared to minister to somebody that way. Amen? And just let the Lord use you that way too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you know what? There's lots of ways to give around here. You can give the old school way and go out to these giving boxes and give that way. You can do that way with a check or cash. You can do it like that. You can do it online a couple of different ways. Probably the easiest way is through our church app. That's probably the easiest way. But you can use a text to give as option as well. Lots of ways. May the Lord bless you today as you give. And I'm just so grateful for all of you that are just so generous. All right, so Chris, come on. Chris got a few things to tell us. All right, Chris.
Thanks, Pastor Brad. Good morning, everybody. Now, if you guys... a little lively this morning. I like it. We have some awesome opportunities. So like Rolando said, hey, make sure you guys have the Church Center app because that's where all the details for these things are happening at. So this Wednesday, we have two things that are going on, right? We have the Laws of Spiritual Power, which is going to be happening inside the sanctuary, and we also have a Hebrew study happening in the fellowship, in the fireplace room. And so this week we're going to be talking about refuse to take offense. And why are so many people, including Christians, so easily offended? And why are some Christians so offensive? What should we do when we are offended? Can we become unoffendable, and should we? I mean, this is a huge topic, and so we're going to talk about it this Wednesday. And then if you want to go to the Bible study on Hebrews. That's a really an in-depth look on how the Old Testament and the New Testament are linked together. So make sure you guys are thinking about that stuff, and I hope to see you on Wednesday. We also have some awesome opportunities to just be involved in prayer around here, right? We have prayer just about every day of the week. There's all different times. So make sure you guys are really stepping in your faith and taking the opportunity to really get with other people around the church and pray together for our community, for our government, all the needs that are out there. And then moms, there is an awesome gathering at the playground. And that's happening on Tuesday, April 25th. And then we have this thing called Engage. If you're not really sure where God designed you to serve, what you should be doing, what your God-designed role is, where you think you should be serving here at Seaport, make sure you're joining us for Engage. And that's happening on April 30th. And then last week we had a pretty awesome skit on this, tea party, this wild and wonderful ladies' tea party. And that's happening on May 6th. And then now we have some awesome travel mugs, so make sure you guys see the information desk outside after service. And before we get done, we have a special message from Sherry, who's going to be bringing us a cool class coming next month. Just take a look up.
Good morning, Seaport family. Sherry Witowitz here, if we haven't met. I am going to be teaching another class on nutrition starting Monday, May 1st at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. It's going to go for 3 consecutive weeks on Mondays. We are going to be focused on family-friendly wellness. So that means that we're going to be talking about food. We're going to be talking about what all of these labels mean when you go to the grocery store. We're going to be talking about eating healthy. And I know that's so overwhelming right now because everybody is so busy and the last thing they want to think about is cooking. So we're going to be talking about some tips on that when you're busy or if you're on a budget. We are also going to be talking about exercise. We're going to be talking about why rest is so important. I'm also going to share some school lunch tips to make sure that your child is, being nourished while they're at school too. And everybody is going to get a gift. So I encourage parents to attend. Both of you can come. Only one registration is needed. Every person or household that comes will get a gift. And also, I know this is family-friendly wellness, but I think anybody can get something out of this. So whether or not you have a family, you are welcome to attend. Again, it's going to start Monday, May 1st at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions at all, you can find me after service. My email address is also listed on the event in the app. So reach out to me if you have any questions or register in the app. Thanks.
Awesome. Awesome. And if you're not sure where Sherry is, she's sitting right there. So like she said, make sure you guys are signing up for that in the app. Today, the youth are going to be remaining in service as Adam comes to bring us the message. And we're going to be continuing our series called Commission. And he's going to be talking about treasures in heaven. Adam?
Good morning. Now, I'm not offended. But these Wednesday class things, I really feel like Chris was kind of talking about me. And about why certain Christians are just so offensive. Now, I won't be offended if you don't show up to my class, but what does that say about you if you're offended by what I'm teaching? So, a little food for thought there. Materialism is a sin that's as old as time. It denies eternity. It's the religion of right now. The materialist's highest virtue is gluttony. The motto of the materialist is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Or maybe that old Gordon Gekko line of greed is good. But without a God that made man in his own image, who promised life eternal, without that God, well then, why shouldn't we scrape and claw for everything that we can get right now to enjoy? Materialism is all around us. The abortion industry sacrifices over 600,000 babies a year in this country to the god of materialism. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Moloch is alive and well, and he is subsidized by your tax dollars. Materialism is also heretical doctrine. What is the prosperity gospel besides replacing the God of Scripture with a fickle materialist God who blesses you when you flatter him? See, living one's best life now is just materialism. It's not the abundant life, the purpose full life that we are called to live in Christ. God has more for us than fleeting pleasure. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so he cannot find what God has done from the beginning to the end. God created beautiful things, mountains, rivers, flowers. God created food that actually tastes good. You ever think about that? God didn't have to do that. And again, my lovely wife is going to be teaching a class on all of the abundant, good, nourishing, delicious foods that God has given us that don't require ingredient labels. May 1st, sign up in the app. Shabam. These simple things, they blow my mind. Like, God didn't have to do that. It could have just been good for us and tasted like nothing. What about something like fire? We take it for granted nowadays. And I was having a conversation with my daughter around a fire while we were in Massachusetts the other week. I said, do you ever think about the amount of things that God made fire to do? It gives us light. It gives us warmth. We can cook our food on it. We use it in all sorts of industry. It protects us from wild animals. But it's also beautiful and mesmerizing to look at. Like the coals of a fire, they glow in colors and patterns that man can't even really duplicate. But God created it that way. And as great as all of those things are, God gave us a heart and a need for more. He gave us a need for eternity. He put eternity in our hearts, which is a need for Him, a need to praise Him. The Apostle Paul says that God has been known by all men since the beginning of all time. His eternal power and His divine nature have been seen since the very beginning of creation in all things that He's created. But because of sin, we look at God's creation wrongly. We seek it instead of Him. We crush our need for eternity down by continually filling our days with things that are not meant to last. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 19. It's the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to see what Jesus has to say about materialism. And I'm going to undo this top button because I'm already getting hoarse and I got a lot more yelling to do. Those of you that are guests, we love that you're here with us this morning. You're going to get used to me real quick, I promise. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. The treasures of this world are fleeting. And we do our best to keep our wealth and our things locked down. To try and keep a hold of them for as long as we can. But there are so many things that destroy them. Animals, elements, evil people that keep us from holding on to our earthly possessions. See, moths, they destroy clothes, they destroy blankets. Rust, it destroys jewelry, it destroys tools. Thieves, they break in, they steal your food and your money. Jesus used these examples very specifically to show us that anything that we have that could make us seem wealthy can be destroyed. But then he pivots very quickly and says, you know what can't be destroyed by any of these things? He uses a Hebrew rhetorical device known as parallelism, and he uses basically the same examples to expound on his point, to bring emphasis to his point, to show the scope of if earthly goods can and will be destroyed by all of these things, none of these things can destroy heavenly treasure. So he says, moth, rust, thieves, they can't get at your heavenly gifts. This verse ought to give us assurance of our greatest heavenly gift, which is salvation in Christ Jesus. But it also gives us assurance in the heavenly gifts of eternal life and even some that are with us on earth as we speak. Now, we are still in the Sermon on the Mount in our series here. And Jesus opened this sermon with a list of heavenly gifts. And he told us how it is that we are meant to store them up. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. There is eternal significance to all of these things. And I don't have time to get into all of them. But if we're walking with Christ, we will be every single one of these things at some point in our lives. It's like the fruits of the Spirit. You don't just get one, you get all of them. This is what it means to follow after Jesus. And when we do these things in faith, we are promised eternal treasure for it. Even the things that seem earthly. When we mourn on this earth, in faith, we draw heavenly comfort to ourselves eternally. Our persecution in this life has eternal ramifications. Now, I could easily do 2 months of sermons on walking in faith and the significance of these earthly tasks and their eternal significance. I haven't been given that responsibility to do just yet. But isn't this what our souls crave? God put eternity in our hearts. It's the only thing that satisfies, and it's the only thing that can't be taken away from us. God doesn't take back his gracious gifts, and the devil can't take them from you. Jesus says, where your treasures are, your heart is there also. So is your heart with God in the heavenly places, focused on his eternal glory? Is that what you treasure? If it is, then your heart is secure in the grace of our Lord Christ Jesus. But what fills your days? Light or darkness? Do you fill your days with the light of God's word, doing the things that he has set before you to do? Or are your days darkened by the pursuit of worldly goods? Verses 22 and 23, they speak to our intentions and our pursuits. What we look to in this life determines who we will be in eternity when we look to Christ. We're filled with the light of Christ. When we look to the darkness of worldly things, we are filled with that darkness. And how great is that darkness today? Darkness blinds us from who God is truly. And what he has for us in this life. But humans, we adapt pretty well. So many humans, we get used to walking in darkness. We get used to living blind in darkness. And after a while, we even get to like it. You ever been roused from a deep sleep by someone shining a flashlight in your face? Or maybe somebody comes in and throws the curtains open and sunshine just hits you. It hurts. It's shocking, and your eyes are not used to that kind of intense light. That's what salvation looks like. See? But it's not the light of Christ that actually hurts your eyes. It's the fact that you've been walking in the darkness for so very long that you are not used to that kind of light. And that light then shows you the amount and the ugliness of sin that you have amassed over your entire life. It hurts. And that's why we repent. Because the Holy Spirit convicts us. He shows us our sin. And how awful it is. And we cry out to God for forgiveness. And in faith we see in the light of Christ. We see how he took the punishment on the cross for our sins, even though we deserved it. We see in the resurrection how he frees us from that sin and the death that accompanies it. And when we see, we walk in the light. We walk in the light because we have a view of eternity. We can see what's in front of us, and our heart gets set towards those heavenly treasures. And what fellowship does light have with darkness anyway? Or Christ with Satan? Or the church with idols? Or the unbeliever with the world? The answer is none. You can't serve both light and darkness. You can't serve materialism and Christ. Our God is a jealous God. And he's jealous because he is deserving of all of our worship, of all of our praise. And he created us. We're his, whether we want to be or not. So our life's pursuit must be to follow and obey the commandments of Jesus. He flat out said that if we love him, that's what we're going to do. It's the only thing that gives this life meaning. Right? Because if eternity isn't a thing, if we're not going to experience eternity, well, then all of your family and your legacy and your work, they only matter as long as you're breathing. But God has promised eternity. And we all know that it exists. He put it in the heart of each and every person. There's no lasting purpose without Christ. I'm going to leave you with a parable that Jesus told. Turn to Luke 12 real quick. I'm going to start in verse 15. But I could not leave this out. And the best way for a preacher not to say anything wrong is to read a lot of scripture. So this is Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 15. These are the words of Jesus. And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Today, your soul is required. We don't know how long we have on this earth. God does. Our days are numbered. The hairs on our head are numbered. God knows. And all of the things that we amass in this life mean nothing in death. Think of all the things that this guy could have accomplished with all the excess that God had given him. He could have feasted with family and friends in praise of the God who provided him those things. He could have fed the poor. He could have helped God's people with all of the provision that God gave him. He could have used his earthly possessions to store up heavenly treasure. But instead, he filled his days with darkness, and he focused on the earthly treasure that he had. He served his possessions rather than serving God. And when God ends his life short, his possessions end up rusted, moth-eaten, and stolen. Brothers and sisters, let us not be this way. Let us store up heavenly gifts that no one can take from us and that we are promised to have lavished upon us by a good, good Father who is in heaven into eternity, for which we will praise him for time without end. Let's stand, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth, holy and gracious are you. We pray your kingdom will come to us not only in our hearts, but manifest in our actions in this world. That in doing your will and in the use of all that you've created and given to us, that we would do your will perfectly as we live our lives to glorify you. All the earth is yours. I ask that you would give us all that we need to accomplish your will for our lives. Provide for us so that we can serve you. Forgive us where we've been materialistic. Forgive us for seeking the creature and not the creator. Help us to forgive those who may have stepped on us on the way up or stabbed us in the back of pursuit in pursuit of wealth and material goods. God, point us continually towards you and your heavenly treasure. That's where true blessing is found and eternal purpose is fulfilled. Show us the path away from materialism and keep us safe from the schemes of those who are possessed by a materialist mindset. Lord, I ask this for your glory, that you would empower us to go forth and do it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everyone, go ahead and be seated. We're going to move right to our baptism. We're going to hear from the five people that are being baptized. And they're going to come and just share a testimony, and then Chris is going to baptize them. I was thinking about this sermon this morning, and I was thinking a couple of different things. I was thinking about, you know, how we just, it was just this week was so terrible. He was just driving a fuel truck like he always had, just going on the bridge, just like he'd done probably hundreds of times. And in a moment, his life was gone. I can't imagine he thought just driving that truck that anything like that could remotely happen. Just how quick life can disappear from us. Thinking this week, everybody, there's so many people that are just Elon Musk groupies. And, you know, I was reading this week, Elon Musk had a bad week. He lost $13 billion. Most of us are like, yeah, I feel bad. You know, his rocket went up for 4 minutes and then had an unscheduled disassembly, as they call it. But anyway, I'm thinking about all of that. And I'm thinking about what the world's wealthiest man, who made Elon Musk look like a poor man, King Solomon, was at his height, was worth $2 trillion, that's with a T, dollars. He would say this: riches disappear in the blink of an eye. Wealth sprouts wings and flies off into the wild blue yonder. Not wild. It's true, you know. You can spend your whole life pursuing a bunch of stuff. It's gone in a moment. What have you laid up in heaven? Are you prepared? I hope you are. If you're here today and you've never really prepared your life, how you say, how do I prepare to go to heaven? People have this weird idea. When I die, I go to heaven. How do you know that? It's God's heaven. It's God's heaven. We're here to celebrate baptism because these people have made preparations, and you're going to hear about that. The entrance requirements have been met. The entrance requirements are simple. Repent of your sin. Ask Christ to come into your life and to forgive you and set you on a new course. Simple, but not easy. And these folks have made the decision to be baptized. What does baptism mean? Baptism is basically saying, I made a private decision, but now I'm going to go public with that and let people know. And the symbolism is profound in baptism. It just simply means I was living my life, but then I died to the old life, but was resurrected to new life by Jesus. That's what it means in the simplest of form. And so that's what's going to happen today. And so let's take some, we're going to hear the testimonies. Amanda, why don't you come right up here first? And you're going to hear some real quick testimonies. And then we're going to, and then Nora, you can follow her. And so Amanda.
Hi.
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 You're being baptized today? Tell us why.
I was raised Catholic, but I believed in God. I knew some basics, but I lacked a relationship with Christ. So life is really good for me, honestly, but I yearned for more, not the worldly things. I knew there was something more. I just didn't know what. I just knew it was him.
Right.
And so during COVID, I had time to step into questions and really seek an understanding of who he was. And fast forward, I've been with Seaport for almost 2 years. And so some might wonder why it's taken me so long to get baptized. But for me, from the very beginning, I told myself I couldn't possibly be worthy of what Jesus did for us. I needed a checklist. I had to make sure I was tithing regularly. I needed to make sure that I knew the Bible and all the verses and all of the things.
That's her checklist.
My checklist is very, very different than yours, than what God has for us. But I thought that I needed that checklist to be complete. Otherwise, I'd be a Christian imposter. Right. You know, the enemy would love if I continued to believe that and I never got in the water. But instead, I'm here today knowing Jesus died for us because we aren't enough, but he is. And this is my step in proclaiming that I know that now and that hell lost another one and I am free.
Amen. All right. All right. Okay, why don't you go ahead? These are brand new baptism shirts today. You want to model the shirt? It's a brand new shirt today. You're seeing it for the first time, eh? Okay. Yeah. All right. All right, you can be sit right over there. Sit right in that front row over there where I sit, because Chris is going to baptize you. Just Nori, here. Where's Nori? Oh, okay, Nori, come on, you know, come on up here, and come on, Nori. Okay, just relax. You're like, come on, you're standing right next to me. Just relax, Nori.
Yes.
You're being baptized today. Tell us why.
I just feel like it's a perfect time. I've been searching for the perfect religion all my life, and I just feel like it's the perfect time.
It is the perfect time. Yeah, you haven't found a religion, you found Jesus.
Yes.
And you know, we would like to say there's a difference between religion. Religion is me trying to get God to approve of me by following a code. A relationship is Jesus comes inside, gives me the desire to follow him and love him. And that's a big difference there. So, Nori, we're excited to baptize you. We're so glad that you're here.
Yeah.
Yay. All right, go sit right over there with Amanda. All right, Jason, why don't you come on? All right, Jason. All right, Jason. All right, Jason is new to us here, too. And so, Jason, okay, you're being baptized today.
Indeed.
And tell us why.
Each in his own time, and now is mine. It is written in Mark 8:34 and 35, that Jesus called to the crowd to join his disciples, saying, "If any of you wants to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it." So for most of my life, I've walked a rather broad spiritual path. But over the last year or so, I found meaning and potency in Scripture, the likes of which I've not found anywhere else. I've awakened that Christ was seeking me the whole time. And as I die to my old life, I am awakened in Christ, whose life and love compels me. I now surrender my old life and no longer live for myself, but for Christ who died and was raised for us all. I say to all who hear me, I am grateful to receive his new life.
Yeah. Woo, sit right over there. Donna, amen. Yeah, that's great. Come on, Donna. Some of you, if you're new here and you think, should people really be that happy and clap that much in church? Yes. Man, if you can't be happy in church, you better go find a different one or something. I don't know. But anyway, Don, you're being baptized today. Why?
Okay. My glasses on. Growing up, I didn't know God. Sometimes I would hear someone mention him. I was given a couple of sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church. But for me, it only meant a fancy dress. It wasn't until a little over 6 years ago, when tragedy hit my life, that I realized how alone I was, even with people around me. So many people said they were praying for me. I thanked them, but in my head and heart, I said, it's too late for that. You should have started earlier. Some time went by, and my days were pretty dark. I felt I had no purpose, and I felt that I had no future, and I didn't care. And then a friend started talking slowly to me about God, and I watched her face and saw a peace and belief there. And then I was talked into going to her church, and it was different from what I had seen before. I didn't listen as much as I watched. I watched the peace on the faces of those that were there, and I knew that I wanted and needed that sense of peace. So I kept going, and little by little I learned. And little by little, I believed, until my life wasn't as dark anymore, and I felt that I could have a future again. God coming into my heart and into my life gave me hope. Today is about me thanking him for not giving up on me and returning purpose to my life and about giving me a new life and a new start.
Good job. Good job. Amen. That's great. Amen. Isn't that great? That's good. Good stuff. All right. All right. Jackson, better known as JJ, come on over here, buddy. Okay. All right. Come on. You came prepared, didn't you? Here, you know what? Stand up here. Jump right up here. Jump right up here so we can see you. Yeah. Stand up there. Don't stand up there. That don't help us. Stand up. Stand right up there. There you go. There you go. There you go. See, come over here now. Okay, now. Okay, now we're like eye to eye. Okay. Did you write that? It's in your own handwriting. Look at that. Okay. Go ahead. Read that for us. You being baptized today?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I know that Jesus sacrificed his life for us because he loves us and he wanted us to be here on earth. And at a certain time in the morning, I feel like God is touching me.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo. All right. You feel this? You feel this? You feel that? That's me. But that's how the Lord feels about you, too. So he wants to pull you close. You feel this? You feel that? The Lord's hand's on your life, and he's going to direct your life. That's in very cool ways. Okay? Just remember that. Every time you feel this, remember that's how the Lord loves you. He wants to pull you close. You feel this? And he wants to direct your life. This is great. This is great. So what will happen now is this, is that Chris is going to step in there, and he's going to be doing the baptism. Now, if you're here, it'll be projected up there, so you'll be able to see it easily. But if you're here and you want to take pictures, please feel free to come up here and take a picture. Feel free. The best way to get a picture is like right here, okay? And so bring it up there, up on the screen, guys, please. And now Sherry's here. She'll be taking pictures of everybody being baptized, and then that will be turned into a baptism certificate that we will give to them in a week or two, okay? So bring the camera up on the screen, guys, and so we're going to go in this order. Amanda, you're up. Let's go. Right. Take your time coming into the tank, okay? Make sure everybody can see. Step in there.
It was warm. This is
crazy. It's cold, right? It's very cold, yes. They told me last night, we think there's a problem with the heater. I'm like, great.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, on the profession of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Isn't that great? That's so great. All right. Nori, come on. Hallelujah. Come right on in. Okay. This is great. Yeah, I encourage you. If you want to take pictures, best place is like right here. And man. I guess we're having technical problems back there. Normally we'd project it up here, but okay. All right. If you can't see, just get into a place so that you can see, because we're trying to get it up there, but here we go.
And now baptize. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Look right. Wow.
If you look over there, so everybody online can see it.
All right, there we go. All right. This is great. All right, Jason, you're up.
Come on,
Thank ocean. Thank ocean. All right.
The longer you spend it. All right. You got a holy note? All right. So, Jason, in the profession of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Woo! That's great. It's great. It's great. Donna?
Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Okay. Jackson, JJ, this one's going to be a little different, and okay. This morning, and this is okay.
I'm not going to get this water.
It's cold. You'll make it. All right. If he's not going to go in, that's fine. It's really cold. If he's not okay with it, it's okay. If he's not okay with it, it's okay. It's all right. No worries. It is cold. It is cold. It's cold.
I want to be hanging on to your... I'm going to give it to your dad. Here,
okay.
There you go, right?
There you go.
So hold your...
It's really, he's not afraid. It's just really cold. It's very cold. It's just very cold. We couldn't get the heater fixed in time.
You're ready. All right. You remember how to do it? Put your hand right here.
Here we go. He's got it. All right. Here we go. Go fast. Just go fast. Go fast. Go fast. Go fast. Go fast.
All right.
Just go fast. Just go fast.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Go. Hey, JJ, look right here. All right.
Get me out of here.
He only said what some of you have thought. This morning, when Al came in early, I said, "You know, I have this idea. How do you feel about it?" Now I understand. Maybe it was a God idea. Was to have him do that. Was not planned until this morning to have Al baptize him. And we apologize. The water was so cold. The heater just went out, and we haven't been able to figure out why. Why don't you stand? We're going to sing a closing song. The band's going to come back. You have now been to one of the more entertaining baptisms. And I'm sure that was recorded, and who knows where that will go. But anyway, wow, hallelujah. Let's sing this closing song, and then we'll be dismissed. Grateful. Yeah, hallelujah. Jesus said, referring to himself, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, thank you for the freedom that you give to us spiritually, no matter what is going on in our lives. God, we are free. And God, thank you for your great grace that flows into us. Thank you, God. May your hand continue to rest upon all of us. And may we be the expression of your light and of your love to all those around us, we pray. Thanks, Lord. Dismiss us in your great grace, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Hallelujah. Woo! Hope to meet you by the cafe. God bless you.